It's 3 p.m., and I have a question for you. Do you know where your politicians are? Everything is political in your life, from the moment you're born to the moment you die. And when a politician tells you that's not true, look in your pocket. You'll find their hand in it. Everything is political. We will be talking to those politicians that are working for you and talking about those politicians that are working against you. Just because they're a Democrat, or just because they're a Republican, and you voted that way your entire life, maybe you were wrong. Because everybody is not what they seem to be. However, there are a few out there who are working for your benefit, and we are going to bring them to you. We're going to let you hear them. We're going to ask them questions. We're going to let you ask them questions. And we're going to be discussing education system, the military, science, music, sports, oh, and healthcare. Do you have it? Do you need it? Are your 26-year-olds still on the family health care plan? Or, as the regressive party says, Obamacare. We will bring you what you need to know, because this is the last word. And everything from the cities, counties, state, nation, the entire world. So sit down and get a pencil, paper, and take this graduate education experience. And we will make sure that you have the last word. My name is Michael Lawson. Good afternoon. This is the last word. This is Michael Lawson. It's August the 9th, 2020. And we are going to have a major show for you today. A lot of things have happened. A lot of things have happened in this unbelievable, unbelievable weekend. A lot of things. Dramatic. Just listen. Yes, it's Shotgun.
Walker and the All-Stars. Now, why do you think we are playing that song? Well, I mean, just give me a good reason why we should play that song. Because this man has taken a shotgun to the country. He's taken a shotgun to the country. Orange man in the White House has taken a shotgun to the country. I mean, it's unbelievable what this man has done. This orange man in the White House, days are coming to a close. Very rapidly, they're coming to a close. And this is what's going to happen. You're going to hear some information about that today on the show. And you're going to hear a lot more information about this moron who's taken the country and taken it and used it for his piggy bank, like Letitia James says, the Attorney General for New York State. And she took a shotgun to his university, Donald Trump University, and his piggy bank, his other piggy bank, but his real piggy bank, the Trump Foundation. That's right. He had a piggy bank. Everybody that was sending him money was sending him money to be used by him and his kids. That's right. They were sending him money to be used by him and his kids. That's all it was. And people just, I don't know, did you just want to do that? Was it that embarrassing that you had a black president for 2 terms, for 8 years? Was it that embarrassing? I mean, I just don't understand how you could just not have this person in control of your government for this long, for 8 years, and then say, man alive, what is going on here? We'll take anybody over him. We'll take anybody over him. It can't be that bad. It couldn't be that bad. But we're going to get him. We are going to get him. Just ask Khan.
Hell's heart, I stab at thee. For hate's sake, I spit my last breath at thee.
That's right. Whatever it takes, we are going to get this man. Whatever it takes. Whatever it takes. Good afternoon, Mr. Fortenberry. How are you, sir?
Good afternoon, Mike.
And as Khan said, at whatever, at last breath, I spit at thee, I will get you. And we're going to get him. We're going to get him this time. And all those people are sitting out there in the country waiting to get their hands on him. But they got a long wait.
Yeah.
They got a long wait.
A long line. Yeah, you know that the old joke that people line up to slap your face, there's going to be a couple million people in line. Or something
else.
Oh,
man. Well, I mean, I saw a great film. I used to watch the series that was on. It was called MI5. Did you ever see that when it was on?
I did not.
About the British Secret Service. Great show when it was on. And they closed it out with a major motion picture. And it was great. It was great. And I watched
it. The real life James Bond.
Yes. Oh, the TV series had a bunch of people in it, and it changed over the years. But the main character, the head of MI5, he stayed the same. And at the end, the very last end, the guy who was the star of Game of Thrones, that's where I think he got his first started, was this series. And I can't think of his name.
Oh.
You know, the short guy with the black hair. Was in love with the dinosaur family.
Not Little World.
Anyway.
Not Tyrion, the little guy.
look, you're right. Anyway, so he was the bastard son. Remember? Yeah. Anyway.
Yeah.
So.
Well, you know.
He says
the Middle Ages, Mike. They were all bastards. I mean, come on.
Oh, yeah. That's right. He said, I'm trying to think of the exact words. He asked him. He says, because he asked him. He said, because he was mad at him in the beginning of the film. That this guy, I forgot his name. He said, you fired me when I was only on a job for a year. He said, listen. He finally told him at the end. He said, the reason why I fired you was because your father was one of my greatest assets. Died. And he did not betray his country. And I did, but he was tortured to death. And I did not want you to go that same way. I did not want you to go there. So I got rid of you. I told you were lousy and everything else for you to get out of this whole arena.
Come on, save him.
And he said, so, I mean, how do you do this? How do you put up with it? He says, because someone has to, and I decided it was going to be me. And, He looked at him and he walked away. And the thing was that they thought he was the one who sold out MI5, but was really one of their own people on the higher realm that sold him out. So the thing is that this clown is the man who sold out his country. And he don't give a damn who knows it. He don't care because you stupid people out there elected me. And you'd elect me again because you're that much. You were so racist. You just didn't care who you elected. He said, and you'll do it again if you had a chance. And these same fool people would do it again if they had half a chance. But you know, this time, the count is down to about maybe 15% would do it again. I don't believe there's more than 15%. And there's a major chance that this clown can be blown out of every state. There's a major chance that can happen.
Decency left in the world, he should lose by the biggest margin ever. But, you know, there is that hardcore base you're talking about, because he's got, as we see again this week, his first major endorsement was who? David Duke and the KKK, just like last time.
Yeah, but did he say, I don't know who this person is. I've never heard of him. I mean, how can I say okay to someone that I don't know? I remember seeing that this weekend. He said, I don't know who David Duke is. I never heard of him. How does
right.
that man live in his
he,
life not know David Duke?
He's just lying. You know, he's known him for years. He's done shows with him. I mean, give me a fucking break. Anyway, here's my point to that. The difference that last time was he said, oh, I hardly know the guy. I don't know him. And a lot of other people were like, oh, that guy's just lunatic on the fringe. It doesn't matter. He's not like that. And a lot of other people were like, hey, we need change. We're just going to go with this guy. He'll be great. Let's see what he'll do. You know, doesn't have experience, but we'll give him a chance, blah, 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 blah. Okay. All of that is out of the water now. He's been in office. He's the incumbent. We've got a long record of, you know, crimes against humanity. We can paint all over him. And there's no more excuse of we don't know what he's going to do or say, you know. So anybody voting for him now, they got to be hardcore. I mean, they've got to have the sheet nicely, freshly pressed, you know what I'm saying? Because there's no more excuses. I don't want to hear this anymore because I heard that a whole bunch last time. Well, I'm sick of politicians on every front. Let's just give somebody else a chance. He's a normal businessman.
Right.
He's not part of the Washington elite. You know, whatever.
Oh, of course not.
No more excuses, people. You know who he is.
Well, but you see, but he didn't hurt us that bad, did he? I mean, has he really hurt us? Has this man
really hurt us? This is something I will say. I totally underestimated Donald Trump. I thought he was a buffoon and a totally, utterly incompetent, you know, shitty person. He was a greedmeister, and I figured he was going to do, you know, a really horrible job and hurt the economy like every Republican always does, you know, by diluting it with the tax breaks and all. But, you know, that was the party itself. That's not really him. So I figured he'd do his little spiel and wander off into the hotel sunset and be happy golfing. But I give this guy credit for being – I don't want to just say, you know, he is Putin's little puppet, but – he has done more damage to more things than I ever believed he could. I did not think the Republicans would stand by when he not only, you know, misspeaks and says horrible things, but he's taken us out of every major treaty. He's insulted all of our allies. He's kicked NATO and the UN in the teeth. He's ended all of our trade treaties. He's ended our supremacy everywhere. He's embarrassed the nation, made it a laughingstock. You know, he's pulled out of every military obligation we had. He's turned over entire nations to our enemy, like Syria, and the list goes on. And I'm absolutely dumbfounded by the extent of damage. It's going to take a generation to recover from. I'm absolutely in shock. So I'll give him credit. He is a far greater destroyer than I thought he was.
Well, I he fooled me too, because the only reason he didn't fool me in what he wanted to do. I knew he wanted it. He was going to try to do this the best way he could. But the thing is, I didn't think that the Progressive Party would kiss his butt every day of the week, everything he said, because these were hard, hatred communists, and they have gone along with the Communist Party. How can these people ever say anything against the Communist Party again? I don't know how they can ever say that. And every time they do, we need to bring up, well, remember what you said, we need to talk about that.
It is absolutely true what you said. The party, the enabling of this guy, because, you know, he can sit up there and, you know, try to dismantle the country and give away our secrets all day long, and they could have stopped him at any point. The Democrats tried to over and over and over. They had objections. They passed all kind of things in the House, and they kept calling for investigations. And the big, gigantic McConnell stone wall stopped everything. But that's all on them. They've enabled all of this. And I see a whole bunch of them now going, oh, I'm distancing myself. He did this, he did that. And you can see they're trying to get ready for when he loses, that they all of a sudden are going to pull a Trump. I hardly know the man.
Yeah, but
I don't know anything he did.
Do you think they can actually get away with that? Now it's August. Do you think the people are
But they don't seem to care. They've lived in this alt reality for 4 years. You know, we laughed about it at first, but I mean, Trump, you remember he went in and first off, I mean, he straight up, they came up with that. He said, this is all alternate facts when he would lie, you know, and everybody kind of laughed, but now we've been 4 years in and I think the Republicans have picked it up because they literally will do one thing and the next, you know, Tuesday say the opposite and pretend it didn't happen.
Well, I don't know.
Will their voters hold them accountable?
You know what? Steve Schmidt had a line on this Friday.
Yeah.
Listen what he said about this.
Still with us for our conversation is Steve Schmidt, and without delay, we'll get right into the topic of Russia. Steve, what do we do about this, as I've called it, uniquely helpless feeling? We know that we have almost an invisible candidate, an invisible force in an election less than 90 days from now. The boss we would usually look to defend all of us from it is the recipient of it. And we've never had anything like it in our history, saying nothing of the fact that Russia, can't believe we're saying this, has friends in the U.S. Senate who are helping Russia disseminate their talking points here.
There are three issues, Brian, that are an emergency for this country to deal with, and the only people left to deal with it are the voters, or the American people, American citizens, who have to rise up and repudiate this. And there are three specific aspects. Number one, this is the first president in the history of the country who has left the United States undefended against a hostile foreign powers attack. And it is an attack on American sovereignty, on our elections process, the peaceful transition of power that has gone on in this country since 1797. That's what our inheritance is as Americans. And we are here for a short time to be stewards of it, to make the Union stronger and to hand it off to our kids and our grandkids, and that any president would abet a hostile foreign power doing that is horrendous. Secondly, the Russians have bounties on the heads of American soldiers in Afghanistan. Some have been killed, bounties have been paid. The president of the United States has refused to confront the Russians about it. Lastly, we literally have, the term would have been useful idiots in the Cold War. Those were naive people, either by sins of commission or omission, who would do the work of the Soviet Union. So we see now useful idiots in the United States Senate that are passing off to the American people information that's incepted by the Russian intelligence services, intended to undermine faith in the American system, in democracy, in the elections process. We've never seen anything like it in the entire history of the country. So Lindsey Graham, who's involved in it, Ron Johnson, who's involved in it, these men are unfit to serve in the United States Senate. They have utterly violated their constitutional oaths, and it's particularly egregious for Lindsey Graham, who serves as a colonel in the Air Force Reserve. We've never seen such faithlessness to the ideas and ideals of the country and to the solemn oath that the country's most senior elected officials take for the honor of being able to preserve and protect and defend the Constitution of the United States against all enemies, foreign and domestic. They have failed when it was their moment to be friends of liberty.
I asked a partner of yours at the Lincoln Project, Stuart Spencer, last night on this broadcast, but in plain English, why your ads are better than the Democrats' own ads against Trump. His answer surprised me, was very quick, but it makes a lot of sense. You have no client. You have no one to run it past. You guys seem fueled on just the passion and anger of what's become of what was your party.
We all share a belief that the country faces a real threat from Donald Trump, and we all believe this is the most important election the country's faced since 1864. When we see what Trump is doing, he's acting from a position of weakness. The deployment of militarized federal agents without badges, IDs, stuffing people into white vans, the assault on the election process, the shenanigans that are going on at the post office, his constant questioning the legitimacy of the election should he not win, his threats that he won't leave office. We've never seen conduct like this from an American president. It's fundamentally illiberal. He has an autocratic fetish. We've seen this administration assault the rule of law. We've seen these pardons and corruption that beggar the imagination. So much is at stake in this next election. What we should all understand in this country is that our freedoms, our democracy, it was all so much more fragile than we ever could have imagined, and that these institutions were not designed to be frontally assaulted by the President of the United States, the highest executive officer in the land who's charged with fulfilling the founder's mandate to faithfully execute the laws of the land. And we just see a president who is checked out completely at every level, who is mentally, morally, and intellectually unfit for the job and is a real threat to the future of this country. And he's put this country into a tailspin of decline and weakness, the likes of which we've not seen ever in American history.
Reminder to our viewers, the new book by Stuart Stevens, Steve's partner, is just out and available for sale. I happen to know Mr. Schmidt consumed it in a matter of hours. Our thanks to Steve Schmidt on a Friday night for spending some time with us. Thank you, Steve.
Well, what do you think of that?
I mean, wow. Look, this is the voice of the GOP heart and soul. This is a man who was one of their campaign managers, one of their speech writers, one of their think tankers, who helped run and elect everybody from the Bushes through all the way through all of the campaigns, even the failed ones. John McCain, most notably. This is the voice of the Republicans. And, I mean, you don't have to say or add anything to that. There is no more damning indictment than, I mean, this is his own party members saying that. Sounded the alarm. this is the death of democracy if we don't wake up and do something. You know, he said in every way, fundamentally, from, you know, moral standing to intellectual standing, this man is unfit for office. And he is doing everything possible to undermine the election, and they're doing it with the help of Russia. They're doing it with Putin's Secret Service. They're getting talking points direct from the Kremlin. I mean, this should be the biggest scandal of the century, and these guys should be standing trial. I don't understand where the Republicans are.
And here's the thing. He doesn't consult. The orange man in the White House doesn't consult even with his Kremlin cohorts in the White House. He goes straight to the horse's mouth, Putin, and gets his talking memos. That's what's even worse. He's got cronies in the White House. Right, absolutely. Gets direct from Putin. He don't even consult the Putin representatives in the White House who are going along with this man. Here's the thing. Don't they realize that something will really happen if they do not win? If they don't win, the street. And what do you think that they are going to be? Because you can bring charges against these people after office. You know,
I think
look,
Mike, that's one of the reasons. That's one of the things that I failed, you know, when I was saying earlier that I failed to anticipate how damaging Trump would be, because I kept thinking, no matter how bad he is and how stupid he is, you know, the adults in the room will stand up. I figured all the people, like, you know, they'd get their tax cut, they'd do whatever else. But as soon as he was, you know, I don't know, throwing away Syria and, you know, beheading reporters and laughing about it, I figured the Republicans would step up and go, okay, enough, sit down, you know, you moron. But apparently, I don't know if it's far worse than we ever imagined, because, you know, we've seen now 3-4 year long investigations into the NRA, into the party, that it looks as if the Russian operation has been extremely successful in infiltrating their party. So I don't actually know now how deep it goes, but at least some of the major players, like McConnell and, like, you know, our boy Lindsey, have, I think they've reached the point where they have crossed the line. They know, I mean, the public
there's no going back
is so bad. Well, the public face is so bad. Imagine how bad the secret face is, because, you know, we know there's always things that the public doesn't know. So my fear is they've crossed the line, treason line or whatever, so badly that the only option they have is to fight for the total destruction of America and their preservation of power for the end of their lives, or else, you know, they're going to the gallows type thing. Because I don't see any other reason why they are gleefully. I mean, McConnell is the one who has for 3 years now stopped all legislation and funding for anything to do with elections, election oversight. Even when they've proven over and over and over the Russians were hacking, he's killed every single investigation and bill.
Right.
So obviously there's some, you know, nefarious thing. He didn't allow any of it to go on. And they seem to be trying now to, like, I mean, they're doing everything from killing the post office to, you know, undermining democracy and, you know, as Steve pointed out, driving around, you know, unmarked vans and taking people off the street now. So I'm pretty worried that the upper echelon of the Republican Party in the Congress has been compromised, and apparently severely enough that they would rather take the country down than be taken out of power, because there's no other explanation as to why they're acting the way they are. You know,
they
could always turn around and said, oh, it's Trump, it's not us.
Well, I can understand take the country down, but they don't figure that no one will say, aha, you were one of the conspirators. You know, like
Satan was hiding
after they crucified Christ, and they were looking for them, and the woman said to him, oh, you were one of them. He said, no, I don't know. He denied Christ. That was the second time or third time he denied Christ. Mm-hmm. I mean, did these people deny? You think they're going to deny him? That they knew him?
Well, no, this is what I'm saying is in any normal situation, it could have been they lose the election, just like every other time, you know, when the great grandpa Ronnie lost and you know, went away, all those people were thinking, oh, gosh, this is the end. Bush lost, and there were some rumblings, and I've talked about this before, that, you know, the Democrats should have prosecuted a bunch of these guys and gotten rid of them. You know, I would rather have seen them all go to prison than have them come back years later when we have to keep dealing with, you know, everybody from Cheney to Army to Powell to everybody else. They come back, you know, freaking every election and try to get back into power. But anyway, those were normal times, and they would just kind of say, we'll wait out our 4 years and we'll come back. And they'd sit around and they'd think tank and they'd do things and they'd be nefarious in the background and pay off groups and, you know, run ads against the Democrats and all the usual stuff. So that's what should happen, but that's not what's happening. And that's why I'm worried. When I said take down the country, I'm talking about, I think there are a few people, you know, Trump and supporters, who are so compromised, they have decided that they're going to take the country down, destroy democracy, and establish a dictatorship. We've already got no travel anywhere in the world. We've got closed borders. We're building a gigantic wall around America. And we've got vans riding around picking up protesters, which they are already identifying, tracking online, and listing as enemies of the state, even in official Pentagon releases and everything else. They say anybody who protests, anybody who even writes about it, like a reporter, are called enemies of the state. That's never happened in America. So my fear is that they are trying to take American democracy off the table, so there is no chance of them being caught and going to prison. It's like it's so bad that that's their only option, because otherwise I think they will all end up in, and I think they know it.
Then talk to me about this thing. Do you know that the White House is looked and is still looking into the possibility of getting Donald J. Trump's face put on Mount Rushmore?
Oh, yeah. He's been talking about it for several years now. I mean, he joked about it his first year in office, if you remember. Everybody else thought he was joking.
Well, this is what was said. The South Dakota governor, Kristi Noem, was asked to come over to the White House. He said, come over and shake my hand. And she went over there. And he said, Mr. President, you got to come to South Dakota. We have Mount Rushmore. And he goes, do you know it's been my dream to have my face on Mount Rushmore? He said, I started laughing. He wasn't. He was totally serious. He said, Danny, he presented South Dakota, presented Mr. Trump with a 4-foot replica of Mount Rushmore with his face added. When the U.S. president visited the state earlier last month, California Democratic Congressman Eric Soros suggested on Twitter that it would be more applicable to add Mr. Trump's likeness to the Confederate likeness at the Stone Mountain in Georgia.
That's true.
His dream is becoming a reality are considered slim given the lack of usable rock on either side of the existing likeness.
Well, you know. That,
you mean so if there was rock, we could do it?
Well, it actually more fits, you know, Trump to have a little bitty mushroom of a effigy instead of a gigantic rock
right.
face up there.
He liked
it actually might be more accurate.
A pair of small hands.
Yes.
Well, who's that? Small hands? Oh, we know who that is. We wouldn't have to guess. Only one person
with
small
hands. Here's the thing. I mean, we know the guy. He's nothing but a promoter, right? We've talked about this. He's the circus barker. He's Mr. Showman up front. You know, he's like, look at the three-ring circus, you know, with the dog-faced boy. You know. But this is a guy whose entire career has been, I'm just going to build a brand by leveraging money and loans, because all he does is get a loan to get another loan so that he can say he has more properties, and he tries to get his name on everything. And we know that's true. We've seen it over and over. He has all these really, really poorly managed projects, like failed casinos, failed hotels, failed universities, failed charities. But the first and foremost rule of
failed
all of
foundation.
Them is it always has to have Trump in gigantic letters across it. Doesn't matter about anything else.
Right.
It doesn't matter if it lasts a week or if it lasts for 3 months or a year. it doesn't matter as long as it's got Trump on it and he's on to the next project, because he doesn't give a damn about the success of it. He just wants his name promoted. So it makes sense that he wants Mount Rushmore to become, you know, Mount Trumpmore. I mean, that's why he moved the national celebration of July the 4th to Mount Rushmore, so he could have, you know, little exciting hands holding his 4-foot effigy of himself in front of it. You know, that's what he did. But it doesn't surprise me at all. But again, it's getting to the point where all of the stuff I used to just absolutely die on the floor laughing about when he said, now I'm not laughing anymore, because probably, you know, with Putin's genius behind it. But unfortunately, he's succeeding in doing so much extensive damage that we're teetering on the edge of losing our democracy. So if that happens, then I guarantee to you, we'll have his face up there, even if we have to blow off, you know, Lincoln and Roosevelt and everybody else. They'll find the rock. It'll be there. Don't worry, because he'll just make it so, like he did the wall. You know, every court in the land said no. All the people said no. The election said no. And he said, build it anyway. You know, so that's what will happen. I guarantee you, if he wins, we'll have little Trump all over the place, every state.
You mean the – Like what Jean-Luc Picard says, make it so.
Oh yeah. Well.
Make it so.
Well, it's kind of like the Emperor in Star Wars. You know, you know, he no matter how many times you kill him, he just keeps coming back. You know, with a new droid navy or some shit, and he just keeps attacking like death itself. So yeah, it's kind of getting grim.
Well, you know, Saturday, you know, we'll play a little bit of that a little bit later, but he said, you know, on Saturday he abruptly ended the news conference after being challenged over his claiming credit for passing the Veterans Choice Program.
Right.
He said, I passed that, which was made easier for servicemen and women to get medical care under the legislation that was passed under Barack Obama in 2014 and signed by Obama.
Sounds so familiar.
He signed a law which expanded the eligibility for the scheme. That's all he did.
You know, Trump's like those early vaudevillian movie stars who would go out and they'd find really talented, amazing stuff going on in the clubs, you know, the jazz clubs, the swing clubs, the really prohibition, you know, underground clubs, you know, the ones you'd find, like, you go to Harlem, you go and find a really awesome club, and you say, my God, I've never heard music like that. Holy hell, I've never seen dancing like that before. Look at that act. And then you say, I've got to take that to Hollywood. I'm going to steal all of it.
Yeah.
And I'll just put on a face. I'll put some blackface on. Yeah, that's what I did. Yeah. And I'll pretend
that's right.
That I'm that talented. And I came up with all these ideas. And the people will say, oh, my God, you're so talented, Mr. Movie Star. That's amazing. And you'll say, yes, that's amazing. And the little, you know, poor people in the club will go like, what the hell? I did that 4 years ago. I'm like, you know. But that's Trump. Trump's out there like, everybody's successful but me. But wait, I'll become little Obama.
Yeah.
I'll just put some bronzer on. So he keeps putting the bronzer on. See, I'm dark skinned. And he keeps trying to be Obama. But guess what? It's too late, my friend.
He's
the orange face.
The orange face in the White House. Now, you know, I just don't understand why the young lady, the governor from, well, I guess, is she a Republican? She's a Republican. You know, why she even went there to see this clown. I mean, we have so many things going on in this world that this man could actually have the nerve. Well, I shouldn't say actually have the nerve, because he don't believe it's nerve. He believes he deserves it. I think
yes, it's the Trump-obsessed destiny.
That he deserves it. Well, and that's what they call him, a narcissist. He is a narcissist. And the reason he is a narcissist, and the thing is that he believes all these things he says about himself. And if he didn't have money, nobody would pay attention to him. It's just like the guys who were begging on the street. There was one guy, my daughter was telling me the other day, who was saying, he kept begging the car. She says, no, it's just, I will buy you some food. He said, I don't need you to buy me the food. I know what food I want. I want the money. I mean, what? Are you kidding me? Are you kidding me? She said, I bought food for other people who have been out here, and they said, well, that's their problem. I want the money. I said, well, you're not getting any money from me, and rolled up a window and drove on. This man believes that the conservative credentials that he has pushed so hard on China and other senators, both Democrat and Republican, is the reason why he's done so good, because I show you I take no problem ranking on either one of these people if they don't answer to me. They need to answer to me because I am president and I run the country. Nobody else runs the country here. I run the country. Well, okay.
Because it's the same guy who says he doesn't take responsibility for anything. What?
Well, yeah, but he says, just listen to it. You remember what he said? It is
President Trump tonight describing the massive explosion in Beirut as an attack.
And I've met with some of our great generals, and they just seemed to feel that it was. This was not a some kind of a manufacturing explosion type of event. It was a bomb of some kind.
His comments coming during a press briefing on the coronavirus response. The president touting his administration's handling of the pandemic during a wide-ranging interview with Axios reporter Jonathan Swan.
I think it's under control. I'll tell you what.
How? 1,000 Americans are dying a day.
They are dying. That's true. And it is what it is. But that doesn't mean we aren't doing everything we can. It's under control as much as you can control it. This is a horrible plague that beset us.
The president sorting through pages of charts when pressed on the country's coronavirus death count.
Right here, the United States is lowest in numerous categories. We're lower than the world.
Lower than the world?
Lower than Europe.
In what? In what?
Take a look. Right here. Here's case death.
Take a look.
Oh, you're doing death as a proportion of cases. I'm talking about death as a proportion of population. That's where the U.S. is really bad.
Well,
much worse than South Korea, Germany, etc.
You can't do that. You have
Why
to
can't I do that?
During the interview, the president was noncommittal when asked about the late civil rights icon, Congressman John Lewis.
How do you think history will remember John Lewis?
I don't know. I really don't know. I don't know. I don't know John Lewis. He chose not to come to my inauguration. He chose. I never met John Lewis, actually. I don't believe.
Do you find him impressive?
I can't say one way or the other.
And with a focus on the election, President Trump continued his unfounded attacks on voting by mail.
There is no way you can go through a mail-in vote without massive cheating.
Extensive research shows election fraud in the U.S. is extremely rare. Today, the president, in a reversal, encouraged voters in Florida to vote by mail, saying the state's election system is safe and secure, as Republican leaders worry his attacks on mail-in voting could suppress the GOP vote.
And as for the coronavirus relief bill, both sides now say they hope to vote by next week.
Hey, NBC News fans, thanks for checking out our YouTube.
No.
Oh, my God, Mike. I'm just beating my head against the wall.
It is what it is.
Well, I mean, Okay, I'll get back to the U.S. is below the entire world comment in a moment. But I also just want to point out about the last segment where you talked about voter fraud and how fraught, you know, mail-in ballots are. They've already proven that mail-in is least likely to be fraudulent least. Because you have a physical copy. But anyway, that aside, the only verified cases of voter fraud in America, the only cases that have gone to court, been proven, and been criminally charged are Republican. Give me a freaking break. I mean, in our state alone, we have the only, we have the ill-gotten distinction of having the only election overturned in congressional history.
District 9.
Yeah.
Unbelievable.
And, you know, it that was all Republican shenanigans. So, again, just I love how they, you know, come up with this crap. But, no, the horrible doublespeak and the ignorance of how he says, oh, it's a horrible plague on our land. We can't do anything about it. While he's
absolutely
saying that we do everything about it and we're the world's leader in, you know, vaccinations and all that kind of stuff. And then at the same time, at other rallies, you know, Republican rallies, he's out there saying it's a hoax, it's a lie, it's a liberal conspiracy against the election. So the man is just unbelievable. And I just wish that reporters would call him out on it, like, directly to his face. I mean, I know when they do, he storms off from the podium and, you know, he won't even talk to him. But the lies just burn me up because you can't just sit there and talk out. I mean, he's got not two sides of his mouth, but like 3 or 4 or 12. I don't know how many sides he's got. You can't have a non-existent liberal lie fraud of a plague against humanity that we're doing everything against while we're dying and nobody cares. You know, I mean, it just doesn't happen that way. Sorry.
Well, we're already on the 4:30 today, so I got to get some other stuff in here. But what about
we got to be quick.
Kanye West. Yes. What about Kanye West?
All I got to say about it is Kanye, believe it? I mean, give me a freaking break,
he's
dude.
He's in that house in Wyoming somewhere. I mean, this guy, he is so and here's the thing, it's even worse. We now know that his lawyer representing Kanye West represents the Donald Trump administration also. And that was now taken to court and saying he cannot be represented by two people under the same party and under the same lawyer. He said, well, I don't know anything about that. Baloney, the one he got to prosecute the case before Kanye is the what we were just talking about, the daggone ballots, was the same woman.
Yep.
Now, just listen to this.
Kanye West is apparently getting help from the Trump campaign in his presidential bid. NBC News has learned, quote, Republicans in at least 4 states are helping him gain ballot access. And in an interview with Forbes reporter Randall Lane, who joins us in just a moment, quote, the billionaire rap superstar indicated that he was in fact running to siphon votes from the presumptive Democratic nominee Joe Biden. With us tonight to talk about all of it and its troubling detail, Jason Johnson, veteran journalist and contributor over at The Griot and a professor at Morgan State University. Also, Randall Lane, chief content officer of Forbes Media, happens to be editor of Forbes Magazine, who interviewed Kanye West again this week. Randall, I'd like to begin with you. What did he say to you about this race for president?
Well, you know, obviously it's become a bigger deal. I think what happened once he was eligible for the ballot in Wisconsin, all of a sudden this went from kind of a sideshow to potential to be the Jill Stein of 2020. And what he said, this was a text interview. I talked to him on the phone for about 4 hours last month. I followed up by text to ask him about these reports, including the one you just mentioned. And I pointed out to him that he can't win. He said, he said he was running to win. And I said, you know, you can't win. He said he's walking. He's walking to win. And again, I point out, he couldn't win. He's not going to be on the ballot to get 270 votes. There's no chance for him to win. And thus, he's going to be a spoiler and siphon votes from Joe Biden. And his text was, I can't argue with that. I won't argue with it. Which I took as a, you know, as a sign. He could have denied it. But, you know, he keeps on talking about running to win. He even texted last night, I'm running to win. He can't win, and acknowledges that he's going to hurt Biden more than Trump.
Well, Jason, my friend, this is where we come to you. I'm going to play for you a bit of Congressman Clyburn, as personally responsible as any other individual not named Joe Biden, for the fact that Joe Biden is about to take the nomination of his party. We'll listen to the congressman. We'll talk to you on the other side.
African Americans, most especially, know what this campaign is all about. They've seen these kind of tactics before. We fell victim to it when we didn't know where it was coming from and what was going on. We now know, and we're not going to make that mistake again.
Jason, here's a fact. Kanye West is battling and managing and living with mental illness, full stop. So what's this all about?
Well, Brian, look, I'm like a lot of people. I vacillate between rage at Kanye's foolishness and an immense amount of sympathy because I, like his wife and several other people, you know, it doesn't take a psychologist to say, look, this guy looks like he's hurting. But if you step back for a second, this is an old school trick. Clyburn knows about this in particular. You go back about 10 years in South Carolina. You remember Alvin Green, the random unemployed candidate who Republicans backed in order to knock out a Democratic challenger to Jim DeMint? This is an old trick of the Republican Party. You find sort of no-name, non-politically affiliated black people, throw a lot of money behind them in order to weaken the Democratic candidate. Now, I think the difference is in Alvin Green, you know, he ended up winning, and Jim DeMint took over because Jim DeMint was a powerful guy anyway. I don't see Kanye West as being that much of a threat. I don't know who is going to brave COVID and voter suppression from the Republican Party to vote for the late registration guy, but the Republicans seem to think that at least paying attention to this will somehow distract away from people realizing that Joe Biden might be a better candidate than Donald Trump.
Well, Jason, what does this mean for Kanye West? He is head, as no one needs to remind any of us in this conversation, of something of an empire that includes but is not limited to music and clothing. He is attached to an empire even larger than that. What does this do to him and his name?
You know, I think his brand has been damaged probably since his last two albums ago, Life of Pablo. I mean, like, if you want to see someone who's gone from a great height to, like, little or no respect, it's like Kanye, Michael Jackson, years before he, you know, finally passed away. There's not a lot of people who think Kanye West is a serious candidate. A lot of people don't even necessarily think he's a serious musician anymore, even if he goes around and has these sort of religious festivals. But what I think is dangerous, and the one legitimate danger is this. If he starts to spend money, or Republicans start to spend money on his behalf, if Kanye West starts doing commercials in Michigan and Wisconsin and talking about you know, criminal justice issues, if Kanye West starts running around saying, you know what, there's really no difference between Joe Biden and Donald Trump, what have you got to lose? If he becomes a voice for disenchanted, disenfranchised black voters, again, as a political scientist, I can tell you, for most black people in America, it's not a choice between Trump and Biden. It's a choice between Biden staying home. And if Kanye can convince people to stay home because it's all a joke and a carnival, then Donald Trump has won, and he's been an effective surrogate.
Again, Randall, bears repeating, Kanye West is living with and battling and managing mental illness, as we said, full stop. What has he talked to you, what has he said to you about the subject of mental illness?
Listen, Kanye West is somebody who is very, we talked about it in detail. He considers it a gift. And while he considers his bipolar disorder a gift, he does not consider himself somebody who's handicapped. This is somebody who, you can talk about whether or not he's as high as he was in music, but he has the second best-selling sneaker in America, the Yeezy sneaker, that made him a billionaire. So here's somebody who's accustomed to going into new areas and being successful. So, and he attributes a lot of that to his creativity, which he attributes to his bipolar disorder. This is somebody who acknowledges it, but doesn't actually see it as a weakness and isn't willing to let that, you know, let other people tell him he can't do that. And so that's what I think some of the people around him are having to deal with, is somebody who's not used to having anybody tell him what to do.
We'll stay on it. We're grateful for having both of you gentlemen to talk about it with here tonight. Jason Johnson, Randall Lane, great pleasure having you. Thank you.
Well, what do you think about that?
Oh, I think it's kind of self-evident. I mean, the only states trying to put him on the ballot are, you know, Republican states. All of his the groups that are trying to get him added to states are all Republican groups. And, you know, he's a close friend of Trump's, been a major supporter for years. Even with all of that effort, he can't win anyway, just with, you know, electoral college votes and stuff. So the fact that he's running a spoiler campaign is kind of self-evident. And I think it's very telling when, you know, just 2 days ago they were talking about that, the Forbes interview they just had with him, when they said, are you running for president? What are you doing? And blah, blah, blah. And he goes, I'm walking. So
yeah,
he even
not admits, running for president, he's walking for president.
Yeah, that he's not even trying. He's just there to divide the vote. He's there to split the vote and distract people. I mean, and it's working, because I've had talks with people at my work, and some of these young people were like, oh, cool, somebody from the Hip Hop Nation is going to run. I'll vote for him any day, you know, without even any other thought at all. Any comment, you know, I said anything about your policy position? Anything? Oh, no, I don't know anything what Kanye stands for, but he's cool. I'll vote for him, you know. So,
yeah,
it,
but,
you know,
but here's the thing. These are people who are not going to vote.
Well, true.
These people who are not going to vote. Because they said, oh, yeah, I'll vote for him today. Yeah, right. When's the last time you voted? That should have been your next question. When was the last time you voted, and who was it for? Please. I bet you they didn't vote for no Hillary Clinton. They didn't vote for Donald Trump when he was baloney. The last time they voted probably was Obama, if they voted then. These people,
right.
And they're running in Republican states, which are going to give him, he's going to win anyway. Maybe, possibly.
But... But let me throw out this other side. This is a
totally
no, yeah, I understand. I mean, but see, the thing is, you know, the Electoral College, you know, has proven that it can vote for anybody, anytime, any way they want. So, you know, God knows, we might end up with, you know, Kanye. Who knows? The problem, the totally side issue that I have with this, and this is just a, you know, personal pet peeve of mine, but I've grown very aggravated with the evangelical vote. Because for years in Mississippi, evangelicals flexed their muscle. They just would destroy people publicly with all this shaming,
right,
and, you know, everything else, bringing the big moral stick against people. And it used to work. Okay, they always had that, like, well, we're religious and we believe in, you know, all
right,
lives, and we believe this, blah, blah, peace, and blah, blah, you know. No. They've thrown all that away with Trump. I mean, they're sitting here worshiping the guy, saying he's, you know, the chosen one of God and everything else, when he violates every tenet possible. I mean, all seven deadly sins, he's like the poster boy for. You know, his greed and gluttony and, you know, Mr. Sexual Depravity and everything else. So my problem is that I presume for fully racist reasons, I don't know, or totally with Trump. But this is where it gets into this side that really bothers me. There was a particular element of voters in the African American and in the Hispanic community and everything else that voted for Trump solely because they are also kind of like the evangelicals. They're very religious, and they just believe that, you know, you hold your nose, you vote for somebody you don't really like, but you do it because it'll be for the greater good, because abortion or whatever, right? Okay. This gets into that sticky area with Kanye. Now, I realize the guy's got mental illnesses and stuff like that, and he's under care, and that may be where it's coming from, or it may be coming from the Kardashians, because they're uber right-wing, and I don't know their religious status, but he has become
in very recent times, and he used to not be this way, but he's become super evangelical. He spouts all Jesus quotes all the time and talks about, you know, bringing God to the White House. And that's the part that I had to argue with. Like, if you looked at that interview, which, you know, I'm stupid. I read, like, at all interviews. I got, you know, too much time on my hands, apparently. But when you looked at the interviews that he did in just the last week or so with Forbes and online and on TV interview, he said that whenever they got personal about things and why he was doing things, he got into any kind of policy issue, he instantly deflected with religion. And I don't want to – I don't know Kanye West's true devotion or not, but I get very suspicious nowadays when people start this – I call it evangelical BS because
– You mean like Franklin Graham with his pants down?
But, you know, but here's the difference. You know, Franklin Graham is – Jr. is just a – he's an idiot. And – but – to give him his, you know, worth, he was raised in that whole environment. I mean, he's been evangelical from the get-go because of his parents. But people like Kanye and I, they're kind of opportunists. I put in the – and this is why I think he's learned a very dangerous thing from Trump, because Trump is a master promoter. He'll do or say anything to any audience to get a vote or get a yes or get whatever. It's like, you know, if he can get a person to sign. So you tell, you know, the old person what they want to hear, the young person what they want to hear. Ethnic person, what they want to hear. And it's all lies, right? Because there's no truth to it. And that's what bothers me with Trump. You know, we've said for years, this is a guy who doesn't go to church. He bangs porn stars in the White House and laughs about it. And then turns around, tear gases people in front of a church and kicks them out of the way and then holds up a Bible upside down and says, you know, I'm God's chosen one. And we're supposed to believe it somehow, right? So it really bothers me when he's asked questions that Kanye, one of the first things, like in the interview a few weeks ago, he goes, when they were talking about the polls and stuff coming up, saying there's no way you win, whatever, you know, what are you going to do with your campaign and why are you really doing blah, blah, blah. He said, I'm not going to argue with it anymore. Jesus is king, and I'm bringing Jesus back.
Yeah.
And that's like an argument ender. You know, I'm going to slap you with God, and you can't respond because I got God's authority. And that bothers me a whole hell of a lot, because that's going to confuse some people. It's going to instantly get votes from some people, but it's so disingenuous and so just nasty to me to use religion in that way. You know, I mean, it really bothers me. So that aspect of it is troubling. I don't know enough about Kanye. I haven't studied him, you know, to know if he has any, you know, real faith or if he's just using it or whatever. But it sounds like, and I fear that he learned that trick from Trump, that it's kind of like an argument ender, like you can't argue with me because I'll throw the Bible at you. And I used to get that all the time in Mississippi with people who didn't want to argue. They would instantly go to, you know, Jesus is king, you know. So that bothers me. I'll just put it that way. I know that's just
not these good. People.
Yeah. See, you can't even come back. It's like, how do I even talk about that?
I can't come back because it's so outlandish. These dumbass people. I'm telling you, you know, Big George, you say, Mike, you shouldn't say that about, you know, some of the listeners that they're dumbass and shouldn't say those things. Why not? If they're dumb, you're a dumbass. No. my grandfather. The major. Oh, he's outrageous. He's. He would call people dumbass in a micro minute to their face.
Yep.
And
hey,
he said, look, I
can't
even
to be
talk
a senior,
to
you,
you
earn
dumbass.
That right.
Yes, they earn that right. To be called dumbass.
There's no time to waste.
They
Let's
earned
call a
that
dumbass
right.
A dumbass.
No, that's right. That's right. Call a dumbass. I mean, this is it's just outrageous. It's just outrageous. I just don't know what to say. You're absolutely correct.
Well,
it,
yeah,
there,
I mean, but
there
this is
so
the same kind
things.
Of. But there's a certain element, Mike, in this election. This is what's really bothering me. There's, the Republicans have decided to embrace all the, you know, the weird-ass extremists. And, you know, it used to just be kind of like, we'll just court the racist vote. It'll be all right. You know, now it's like, we'll court the religious vote. It'll be all right. Okay. No, that was too general. Now it's like QAnon religious slash gray alien reptiloids taking over with, you know, skin suits in the Congress or something. You know, I don't even know what's going on anymore. It's like a really bad episode of, you know, the Twilight Zone or something. They've gotten so outlandish in they're trying to scrape the barrel for votes, I realize. But they're bringing it to Washington because, you know, like your favorite guy, Gomer, you know. This is
the type of
guy who's sitting in our Congress today in a seat, elected, and he says crap like this. So, you know, it's worrying me a bit, Mike. I mean, they're actually getting these people in office and putting these policies in.
They are getting these people into office. This is a major problem. They're putting
QAnon or whatever the hell that is.
How did this man get into office? How did this damn man ever get into office? How did he ever
did Trump get in? I mean, I'm starting to wonder, you know, is there like a massive Kremlin disinformation program? I mean, what's going on here, Mike? We got some real scary individuals that are elected to office that should never, ever hold office.
So how did they get in? How did they get in?
Well, I mean, that's one of the things. I mean, and this is going to be harsh against Steve Schmidt since he helped, you know, bring her on. I know his calculus was we need a woman to counter the Hillary Clinton effect or whatever. But when he brought in our favorite, you know, Alaskan non-entity, Sarah Palin, to a campaign, I was horrified at the time. And
I don't believe.
You can go back and listen to the show.
See, here's the thing. What? I don't believe that was ever done by Steve Schmidt or Nicole Laws. I believe that the daggone Republican conservative Tea Party forced him to take her. I believe.
Oh, that might be. That's very true.
I believe that it was done. This is what they told him. So let it be done. That's right.
No, that's true. But this gets to the heart of the issue. And you're right. The Tea Partiers. You remember the Tea Party? That's another one that suddenly you don't hear anymore. Because they only come out every 4 years. It's like magic. You know, they don't exist in between. And then suddenly there's a Tea Party movement and everybody's angry. Let's vote.
His chief of staff is a Tea Party guy. He's the one that came out with them.
Right. But they don't do anything in the interim. They're not like an actual party. They just come out and protest. And what their protest is always about is about government itself, if you remember. They're always about tear down government, tear down regulations, tear down law, right? And one of the problems that I had with Sarah Palin, and I agree with you, it probably was a Tea Party candidate because this is the perfect candidate for them. But this gets to the whole Trump and, you know, even Kanye argument. They're putting up people who are utterly incompetent for office intellectually. They have no political background. They have no understanding of government work. They've never done anything. If you look at Palin, she was a perfect example of this. There's somebody they put into office. You remember they wrote into office on some, you know, manufacturing Democratic scandal. They put her in, and then she couldn't even do the job, and she quit because there was so much corruption that as soon as they started investigating her, just like, you know, Mary Trump, Trump's sister, she had to quit, you know, to avoid prosecution. So she ran away from the governorship, never even finished that. But if you look back before that, the problem I had with her, and this is why I was absolutely horrified at the time that the Republicans put her in an official capacity onto a ballot. She and her husband were part of a group of extreme right-wing violent protesters with the guns and everything else up in Alaska that were not only violent anti-government protesters, but they had the official secession party against the government of the United States. They hated America. And her husband ran this party to take Alaska away from America and make an independent republic. So you're talking literal traitors. I mean, literal traitors, straight up flag waving, want to start another country, you know. And by the way, she could see Russia from her front porch. What did that mean? Maybe it meant more than we thought it meant. But anyway, you got somebody like that, and the Republican Party put her in a vice presidential role. I was stunned by that. Why would you put somebody in who spent years and years of their life running a party that was trying to overthrow the government of a state and directly opposed to the government of the United States of America? I'm kind of curious. So it bothers me that these type of people keep getting into the Republican Party. It's very dangerous.
And that's just the good part is very dangerous. That's just the easy part. I mean, what about the worst part of this? These people are completely I don't know what you'd even say. Are they completely void of all idea? But you got to remember, what did Steve Bannon say? What we need to do is get in office and destroy this Constitution. We need to bring our own Constitution. That was his whole idea.
I used to laugh about these guys saying, what lunatics and extremists? But now I'm taking them dead serious. They are absolutely trying to do that. That is their agenda, and they're proud of it.
This is their agenda, and they're proud of it. And the problem is, are we proud of it? Can we be proud of this daggone agenda? Can we be proud of this? This is the way that the entire country is going to slide. Is this a way that our country is going to slide into the muck and mire of the rest of the world? If that explosion would have occurred during a president who was a Democrat in office, even a Republican, even if it was Bush, we would have been over number one helping them. This man, I haven't heard a word out of his mouth except, oh, it was a bomb. My generals. But why do you always got to say my generals? Why do you he's got to make sure they understand you're my generals. No, they're not his generals. The United States' generals. The United States of America, that they're our generals. Not his.
And,
but he wants
to you
know,
serve
everybody.
Us,
hey,
the people. The people.
That's right. You serve the people. Not this fool. No, we don't. We are not going to have this man.
Firsthand, everybody in the military takes an oath to the Constitution, not to the president.
Absolutely. It's not to the president.
You know, but it's like the wannabe dictator trying to emulate the old emperors of Rome, you know, with a Praetorian Guard that's his own, you know, private military or something. It's not.
The old emperors of Rome, the fool that Nero, while Rome fiddled and burned, he fiddled while Rome burned, and this is where we're at right now. He's fiddling while Rome.
The difference there was Nero had, you know, skills. He could actually act and write and fiddle, and this guy can do none of them. So, you know, we got a
thing is that Nero really wanted that portion of Rome to be burned because he wanted to build something there, and he couldn't figure out no way to do it. Let it burn. Hey.
Yeah.
That's right.
Well, don't sell Trump short. He might build a big old gigantic palace right in the middle. We let Washington burn, and sure, he wouldn't mind.
Well, would that be...
don't give him ideas, Mike.
Well, all I want to say is that we need to remember that if this man gets in office again, you can kiss this country goodbye. Because if you think that he will just go and pass with an executive order, I now get rid of Social Security and Medicare because it's destroying this country. And you don't think that these
right.
knuckleheads in the White House and in the Senate, the regressive party would say, yeah, you know, we couldn't figure out a way to get rid of that. We've been trying to get rid of it for years. Now, that's right, write out an executive order. That's right.
Right. Well, I mean, this is one of the reasons that they've been desperately filling every judgeship in the entire country, because eventually, you know, these cases and these orders and everything else will be challenged in court, and then they'll get to determine if they own everything, the validity of all such cases, and they can just pick and choose what they want as to be the Constitution.
What are we to do? What are we to do? Well, it's
time,
coming
man.
Up on last 2 minutes of the show, and I am grilling a roasting a chicken. I was supposed to roast it on the grill, but now I got to roast it in the oven because I can't find these. And I got this new hookup on my I got this new hookup on my new grill. I forgot to buy the attachment for the rotisserie. So are they attached to hold up the rotisserie on the grill? So now I have, I think I might have on my other grill, which my daughter, who hasn't got this, hasn't picked up her grill yet in over 2 years, I will take him off that. That's what I'm going to do. I forgot. I do have it on that. I will take it off that. That's right. I will take it off the old grill and put it on the new grill, and end of the story. So, what do you have playing today, Mr. Fortenberry? What's going for the rest of your day?
Oh, well, I'm having a very quiet day. My family all went down to New Orleans area so that they could go visit family. And
I have
a quiet day with the dogs.
Oh, the dogs and the cat?
Yes, indeed. And my good old friend,
the
buffalo.
And the
buffalo
the
is going to herd through.
Oh,
yes, we're going to trace our way through the house.
You're going to trace your way through the house. That's right.
Exactly.
Trace your way through the house. Yes, yes.
Well,
yes.
Because
if you
have enough of the buffalo, you have to be very careful when you walk through. You don't want to break something, Mike.
Oh, yeah, well, right now I'm wearing weights. I got weights on my legs now. Janine bought me some ankle weights. Yes, 5 pounds. So I'm wearing 5 pounds of my ankles.
Oh, hell, Mike. You're
going
to end up being strong. I'll be embarrassed next time I go over. You're going to have muscles all over the place.
Hey, well, I need to do the exercise now. When I didn't get on the bike today because I was too busy setting up the show because I didn't set it up last night. So I had a rush this morning. So, but anyway, we will be back Friday. Now, we're hoping Friday it will be he's going to announce who his candidate is for vice president sometime this week. Who do you think it's going to be? Now, who do you think you want? Who do you think it's going to be?
Oh, well, I don't know, Mike. I'm so distraught. I don't know.
Well, I tell you what, I would like Rice, but I think it's going to be Harris. And then I think he should choose Stacey Abrams for Attorney General so she can wipe out that fool, Mr. Barr, and bring him to trial.
Well, I like that. I like that. I too would hope my favorite would be Rice, but I don't know who he's going to pull up.
I think Harris will criminally ruin that vice president that he has right now. Absolutely will embarrass him to smithereens.
Well, here's a question for you, Mike. Do you think we're going to have any?
Yeah.
Because
Trump seems to be refusing, and now Biden seems to be kind of going along with it. But do you even think we're going to have a debate this year at all?
Oh, yeah, we'll have a debate. Matter of fact, if that clown, the Orange Man of Wild, doesn't debate, he should go on. Biden should go on and have reporters ask him questions. That's what.
Oh, okay.
That would be a lot harder. But maybe he should have a debate amongst himself. He'll get on one side, answer some questions, and go in and answer it. Isn't that what this man does?
True. So I just want to remind everybody, because we only got a second left here, that the most important thing you can remember is remember the 3rd of November.
That's right. The 3rd of November. Everybody, thank you, Mr. Voidberger. Have a great weekend. The rest of it, what's left.
Yes, sir.
And don't forget, hey, the last part of Perry Mason and the Alienist is on tonight.
That's right.
2 hours. That's right. All right.
We need to have a whole
I'll
hour
see
with
you,
Mr. Perry
Voidberger.
Mason, by the way. Yes, sir.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. Okay. Good afternoon. Good afternoon, everybody.
Take care.
Radio show? Go look.